Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Keeping Technology Simple radio program, the show that discusses what you need to know in the world of technology in plain English. Your host, Jim Blue, a former senior corporate executive, is the president of BlueTutor.com. Jim is a technology advisor, computer tutor, public speaker, author, and a premier host of the Blog Talk Radio Network. His website is BlueTutor.com. And now, your host, Jim Blue.
And this is Jim Blue, and welcome to the program. Well, shortly after the program of a couple of weeks ago on identity theft, I was inundated with phone calls and emails asking what to do if you are actually hit with identity theft. Well, today we have brought back Steve Weissman to discuss the steps you should take to protect your assets and set up controls to minimize the risk in the future. For those of you that did not hear the program a couple of weeks ago, Steve Weissman, a lawyer and member of the Massachusetts Bar and Federal Bar, is one of the country's leading experts on scams and identity theft. He writes about identity theft for USA Today and has been featured on Nightline, CBS News, ABC News, CNBC, among others, and quoted in numerous publications, including the Associated Press, the Boston Globe, Barron's, the New York Times, Money Magazine, the Wall Street Journal, etc. Steve has authored 8 books, including one that I highly recommend, calling Identity Theft Alert, 10 Rules You Must Follow to Protect Yourself from America's Number One Crime in 2014, and The Truth About Avoiding Scams. Steve, welcome back to the program, and as I indicated earlier, I don't know what happened with you, but all of a sudden the phone kept ringing and the emails kept piling up after the last time you were on.
Yeah, absolutely. Had the same thing. And that's a good sign because, you know, Jim, it shows people are taking this seriously. Heck, the President of the United States should be taking it seriously because, once again, we saw that the White House email was even hacked.
Yeah, I saw that over the weekend. And, you know, you and I had a brief discussion before we went on live is that every single day, you know, if you're in the internet a lot and you're picking up the paper, there's a new identity theft article that's hitting. And I think that, you know, let's start off with, you know, why it's so important to file a police report, even if there's little likelihood that the identity theft will be caught. Why is that so important?
You know, it is true that, unfortunately, a lot of this identity theft that goes on, it's high-tech, low-tech, it's no-tech, it's people across the world, and in many instances, there's very little likelihood that the identity thief will be caught. But what happens is, when your credit report has been gotten at, it's been infiltrated, when your name has been used for, well, it can be even for committing crimes, any of these things, you've got to straighten it out. And so if you file promptly a police report, even if they're not able to act on it, it does put you on record as claiming that you were a victim of identity theft right off the bat. And so it helps you when you go to straighten things out.
So let's say that you've been hit with fraud and your credit card has been abused, et cetera. You know, what should you do in terms of cleaning up the mess that's created with your credit reports?
Yeah, you know, and that's one of the things. It's a big one. You start off by, first of all, don't use a debit card when you're doing retail shopping because that debit card doesn't have the same types of protection that you get in the law for a credit card. And the credit card has a limit of you're being responsible for only $50 of unauthorized charges. The debit card, if you don't report it promptly, you can end up having your entire bank account emptied. And even if you report it promptly, you're going to lose access to your bank account while they investigate it. But for your credit card, you put a lock on it, you get a new credit card, you find out how much damage was done, and then you find out where else. And that's where you go to the credit report, because that's a good place for finding out if your identity has been used to get a mortgage, get a loan, get a lease, whatever. And that's when you have to start cleaning it up, and that means filing for corrections with the credit reporting bureaus, and that can be very difficult sometimes.
Well, that's a pretty interesting point. I gave a workshop last week, and when I mentioned, you know, about this issue of debit card, credit card, I had these people look at me with, like, blank stares. stairs, you know, stairs. What is that all about? I mean, we talked about in the first show the difference between credit cards and debit cards, and, you know, that's something that I never even thought about because we end up using our debit cards quite a bit.
Yeah, and they look alike, and intentionally so. The debit card it looks like it can be a regular credit card from Visa or MasterCard, but we have to remember that that debit card is accessing our bank account to which it's tied directly, and that's the key thing. It really isn't being used as a credit card. It is just coming out of our bank account. So that's why it's very, very important to limit that, because if the identity thief gets your credit card number, that's bad enough. But if they have access to your bank account, that can really be a mess to fix.
Now, you mentioned in one of your notes credit freeze. Why is a credit freeze so much better than a fraud alert, and what's the difference between them?
You know, good question, Jim, because this is something a lot of people will see that various credit reporting, credit agencies that want you to protect yourself, they'll say, put a fraud alert on there. Or these credit monitoring companies will proclaim, we're going to put a fraud alert on your card, on your report. What that should do is when someone is going to grant credit to you, they should see that fraud alert, and they should check a little bit more carefully than just the regular way to confirm that it is you that's actually trying to use your credit. The problem is it doesn't work. And the problem is that very often the quick form of a report that a car dealer or a bank that is going to be issuing a loan to you checks out, many times doesn't even show that fraud alert. Other times, it's very frankly ignored. The credit freeze, on the other hand, actually locks that account, because what it does do is, even if someone has your personal information, your social security number, and could otherwise access your credit report, they're not going to be able to do it because it's frozen with a PIN, and you're the only one that knows that PIN. So in this way, even if someone has gotten your social security number, say from some big data breach, they're not going to be able to do the real harm by getting at your credit report.
So how do you freeze your credit? How do you instigate a credit freeze? What's the process?
Yeah, it's pretty easy, and I've got on Skemicide.com, my blog, there is a section on credit freezes, and you can just click on there, and it will give you the information about contacting each of the three major credit reporting agencies, because it has to be done independently at each of them, whereby you provide them with some information to confirm it's you, and then you're able to set up that PIN. It's not terribly difficult to do. The credit reporting agencies, they don't like this. The retailers, they don't like this. And the reason they don't like it is because it does away with impulse buying. They'll say, oh, gee, it's going to be a terrible inconvenience for you to thaw out your credit if you want to use it. Well, frankly, it takes a few hours. And so if I have a credit freeze on, it's going to take a few hours before I can have my PIN effectuate making it open so that if I'm going to get a mortgage or a car loan or something like that, that it can be accessed. But here's the thing. I mean, as far as we consumers go, really, are you getting a mortgage with just suddenly you wake up that morning and I want it in an hour? You know, it's the kind of thing when you're using your credit report, you don't do it as an impulse. You do it as something you've thought out. And it works. It works really, really well.
Give our listeners an idea of how to access your site where you have all this information.
Yeah, it's Skemicide.com, Skemicide.com. It's like pesticide for scams. And we've got all kinds of information there about identity theft and scams. Every day there is a new scam, a new identity theft scheme that is featured. And we also tell you what you can do about it, how you can protect yourselves, and how you can fix it afterward.
By the way, I access this every day, and I encourage our listeners to do the same because there are new things that are coming up every day. I've got two critical questions. Number one, how do you correct your credit report, and how do you deal with debt collectors?
Yeah, you know, correcting your credit report can be difficult. As a matter of fact, The credit reporting agency said that they are putting in new rules to make it easier. What you have to do is you contact the credit reporting agency, and you the more information you provide them, the better. But you tell them that they have mistaken information, you're a victim of identity theft. It is incumbent upon them to investigate it. And if they cannot confirm that the deleterious information on there is accurate, they're supposed to take it off. But stories are just so common about credit reporting agencies delaying and taking forever to correct reports. And even then, once they're corrected, the harmful information reappears. So you can be in for quite a battle. In the event that you really have reached a total impasse with them, you can bring a lawsuit against them, and people have done so successfully. But the best thing you can do is to do their homework for them, and that is provide that police report, an identity theft affidavit, which we have on Scamicide, and you can also get from the Federal Trade Commission, and any other kind of documentary evidence to show that the information on your report is incorrect and from an identity thief.
Now, what about the debt collectors? I mean, you've got, someone has gone in, they've stolen your identity, they've used your credit cards, et cetera, and now you're faced with all these debts on the cards. How do you deal with that?
Yeah, one of the things there is you tell them that the debt isn't yours, you're a victim of identity theft, but you also ask them to send you whatever documentation they have that shows this debt, because that's important where they can be more than an inconvenience. They can be actually helpful for you to find out where the problems may lie. And so by federal collection laws, the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act, they are required to send you copies of any invoices or any supporting documentation. So you first tell them, nope, that's not me, but you send me whatever you have about that, and that will put you in a better position to be able to fix it.
Well, that's very, very good information, and this is why we go back to the beginning of the program. We talked about filing a police report. We only have about a minute or so to go, Steve, but there are so many other items we can talk about, but you know what I really want our listeners to really understand is that this is a very, very important issue. We're going to have additional programs on this. I think I've gotten about a third through your list, Steve, and I want to thank you again for being on. And as I said, we're going to do it again. And for those of you who have not heard the first episode, which I recommend, you can go to my website, which is BlueTutor, BlueTutor.com, and there's a link there to the Blog Talk Radio show, and you can listen to that after you've had a chance here as well. Thank you, Steve. We're going to get together again and just finish up what we've talked about.
You've been listening to the Keeping Technology Simple radio program. If you want to reach me after the show, the phone number is 917-921-4518, or you can email me at jblue@bluetutor.com. And for those of you with a Kindle or an iPad, you can go to amazon.com, type in my name, Jim Blue, and download my ebook, So Much Technology, So Many Choices: What Baby Boomers and Seniors Need to Know to Bridge the Great Digital Divide. And remember, when it comes to technology, there is nothing to fear, as FDR said, but fear itself. We take the fear out of technology.